the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of July, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Bake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. And as we close out our time together, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way today, I'll tell you how a west central Illinois county is fast becoming the place to look for new or changed weed and insect developments. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September contract for the soft red winter wheat at $9.03. That's up 24 and a quarter. The hard red in Kansas City finished the day at $8.98, and that was, well, I'm sorry, at 9.05 and three quarters. That's up 25 and a quarter for the afternoon. From the corn pit, nearby September contract, $7.96, up 6. December at 7.88 and a half, up 10 and a quarter. In the March, 7.82, up 10 and a half cents. May futures in the corn pit, $7.76 and a quarter, up 9 and a quarter on its close at 2 o'clock central. And July futures of next year, $7.67 and a quarter, up 7 cents. December of 2013 at $6.29, up 8 and a quarter. August bean, $16.95, up 45 and three quarters. SEPs at $16.39 and three quarters, up 44 and a quarter. And November beans at $16.17, up 47 and a half. January, $16.02, up 51 and a half. The May contract at $14.14, up 40 and a half. And November of 2013 at $12.71, up 22 and a half. Meal was up 20 cents on the day at $5.29.80. And the oil at $52.24, up 66. A live cattle October at $122.92 and a half, down 40 cents for the afternoon. September feeders at $137.37 and a half, down $2.97. And a half, and lean hogs were up $1.62 and a half in the August at $94.55. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, the nearby crude oil at $89.12 a barrel, up 62 cents. The ethanol at $2.57 and 4 cents, that's 2 and 2 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.07 and 4 cents, down 11 and 3 tenths, and the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.84 and 6 cents a cent. That's up 2 and 2 tenths. The gold at $1,608 even finished $32 higher. And the dollar on the afternoon at 83.51, down 0.48. The CRB index at 297.19, 0.82 higher. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says it'll be sunny and hot, and it is, a high of 103 degrees. The heat index all the way to 107. On a southwest wind this afternoon at 14 to 17 miles per hour. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy and a low of 77 degrees with a southwest wind at 10 to 16 miles an hour. That one will gust all the way to 23 miles an hour this evening. And then tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 92 degrees on a west wind at 9 to 11. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, and a low of 67 degrees, a west wind at 5 to 7. Friday, mostly sunny and 89 degrees. Friday night, clear and 65. Saturday, sunny and 85. Saturday night, mostly clear and 66 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny and 86. Sunday night, cloudy and 69. And on Monday, partly sunny skies and a high of 90 degrees. Monday night, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 71. And by the time we get to Tuesday of next week, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, should be partly sunny. We'll see a high of 88 degrees next week. At the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated right here on Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, this is the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Jackie Vanks of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another busy day in Chicago, and usually we think about Tuesday as being the turnaround day, but this week it was Wednesday.
Yes, it's been pretty crazy. What a contrast, or what a difference a day will make compared to what we were looking at the close yesterday on the board. Markets are reacting to so many different things. You know, we've got the feed industry. We know yesterday came, and you know they asked for them to waive the mandates. We've got Congress asking the USDA to ban corn exports. We've got a senator today who said he's going to introduce a bill to lower the mandates. We have export sales, of course, coming out tomorrow, and there's an awful lot of concerns about the bean export side of it. As to whether or not China or unknown is going to cancel anything. And then you have weather, typical weather. It's supposed to rain. It's not supposed to rain. It's too much rain. It's not enough rain. You really don't know where you are. And I think the biggest thing today is we saw some of the numbers coming out of the Eastern Corn Belt saying that they're a great deal worse probably than what most people thought they were.
When I look at the chart for the December corn contract on the daily, it tells me that we're probably still in an uptrend or moving sideways at least the last couple of two or three days, despite the really large moves we've had. Is there reason to believe that we're near a top at all?
I don't think at this point in time you can say that we are. I believe, of course, that on December corn we've got strong overhead resistance. The big key yesterday, Todd, was could we get ourselves back inside the uptrend channel, and we did, and today we remained again inside the uptrend channel. So what it says to me is that $8 overhead resistance, if we can pull a close out on $8, we will more than likely try and test the 822 level, which is another resistance level. Then you've got 840, you have 850, and then the top of the trend channel is up there at 855. So is there any reason to believe that we're there? Not just yet. We're still in the channel. And we're still hanging on. But we definitely need to do some sideways trading, just like we're doing right now, to build a decent floor.
Now, last week you were talking about this being the sixth week, could be pivotal of an uptrend, that is. Are you still of that mind, or is this maybe worse than we had expected, and the hot weather is pushing things a little further out?
Well, you know, we did put in new all-time contract highs when we bounced up on Sunday night. And in the past, 6 weeks usually puts an end to a weather market, or at least puts it on temporary hold. I think that I'm still of that mind, especially if we continue to see all the outside problems that we're seeing coming out of the economies. The trade is going to come to a point in time here, I believe, probably tomorrow. We'll see once if they're not going to try and push to a higher level if exports aren't too disappointing. And, we may go into a seventh week because this is pretty much an unprecedented drought. But we're starting to see more and more attention being paid to the outside markets, and as that rolls along, we just have to be more cautious.
Well, tell me about the outside markets. What's happening there that is a potential pitfall?
Well, I'll tell you what. It hasn't been a pretty day anyplace. We had U.S. Existing home sales at a five-month low. We saw the U.K. economy in the Financial Times. The U.K. economy actually was described as falling back into recession. They came out with a GDP that was at lost 0.7%, average guess was 0.2%, so that's a great deal worse. We saw Moody's come out yesterday and say they may potentially drop Germany's AAA rating. Germany is poo-pooing that, but it's still out there. The European Union right now is just going at a wild pace to try and get the European Central Bank to be the watchdog, because Spain's banks are falling left and right. And the big problem we have is, you know, the German people have doubts as to whether they're reliable enough to pay back their debt. So does the European Central Bank. And then we got turf battles going on. Again, we're back to, 17 different countries that don't speak the same language, that don't trust each other. And so it could leave the Spanish people in a position of owing $121 billion to bail out their banks and perhaps put that economy into bankruptcy, just like we saw in Ireland and in Iceland. And so, you know, none of that is good. IMF came out today, said that they believe that China faces a significant downside risk. They're talking about a GDP of only 7.4%. We know they need about 8% to keep everybody working. And I think one thing that really backs that up is China Central Bank actually is starting to allow the yuan to depreciate a little bit against the dollar. And so it tells me that there's more concern there probably than what we've been hearing about. And probably the most interesting thing I saw was out on Wall Street Journal. They said the metaphor that's being heard in the halls of the Fed right now is that the U.S. economy is flying at stall speed, and it wouldn't take much to push it down. If there is any reason for our producers and our end users to make sure that they have themselves positioned very well in terms of if they buy corn at this level, cover yourself, or inputs at this level, cover yourself, remove downside. If you are looking to sell grain at these levels, if you're going to protect a fall option, you have to be cautious. You have to manage your risk. And, boy, I'll tell you, if they turn their attention to this, and they feel they have enough in on the drought, you could see a lot come out of this market in a very short amount of time.
USDA will release its first real crop progress update, crop production update in August. That one will have hard numbers in it. What do you think might be changes there?
Well, I did talk with Joe Prasaki just the day before yesterday because I wanted to find out how they were going to handle it. The August report is normally a stock and a year count. And you have to recognize that if there is one kernel on an ear, it is counted as an ear. Now, he did say that if they go into the sample plots and if they find anything that is dented, they will remove those ears and send them down to St. Louis and have them checked for grain weight and everything else. And that's a, you know, that's a total change from anything we've seen in the past when it comes to August. They have never been up against this. So I think that at least I would hope that when it comes out, it will be more representative of what we really got out, what we've got out there in the fields.
And one last question: if you could pull up the November futures charts and put it on the weekly, we are now a half cent above the high of last week, and in an outside down week. What do you think for beans?
Well, I think that beans still have opportunity to go higher. I've got a short term trend line which we managed to close above yesterday, and this week we're continuing to remain above it. It sits at the about the 1609 level. We tested it. We even tested last night overnight, Todd, down to through that 1545, which is the bottom of the trend channel, and came out of that. So I think beans still have opportunity to go higher. If we do get significant rains, then we've probably gone high enough for right now until we get a little bit better handle on what crop ratings are going to be next week.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
No, it's quite something, though. I tell you, no matter where you talk, there are problems. I have found a few people, though, today when we go to the west that actually have gotten a little bit of rain and are in a much better mood than everybody else.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure. Have a good one.
You too. That's Jackie Vex. She's with Stuart Peterson in Champaign, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon to talk about the commodity markets.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Remember, you can always find us online at willag.org, or you can just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update the numbers at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day, and a bit of analysis, too. That one we call our mobile portable analyst. Now, here's Sean Powers with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has added Pike and Crawford counties in Illinois to the list of primary natural disaster areas due to the drought and excessive heat. Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack announced the designation today, making qualified farm operators eligible for low-interest emergency loans. Crawford County Farm Bureau Manager Courtney Park says this aid couldn't come soon enough.
When it comes time to harvest, yields are going to be quite a bit lower, and so to meet payments for their input costs, having access to a low-interest loan to kind of help get them through this year will be very beneficial.
Additional counties getting the emergency designation from the USDA are in Wisconsin, Kansas, Michigan, Nebraska, and Indiana. Indiana's drought is expected to continue, possibly into October. And although the state could impose mandatory restrictions on water use if the drought worsens, Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman says that's unlikely. Meanwhile, Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard testified before Congress this morning about the devastating drought. The House Science, Space, and Technology Committee held the hearing to review the National Integrated Drought Information System, which can aid communities in better preparing for the effects of a drought. Ballard told lawmakers that because the monitoring system helps mitigate the cost of a drought, it should be more of a priority for the federal government.
Anything that can mitigate the losses, if you will, of the last few months across the nation needs to be upgraded in a priority listing because it saves all of us.
During the last week of June and the first week of July, Ballard says Indianapolis's local not-for-profit water utility, Citizens Water, delivered a record amount of water. He says water usage has dropped by about 80 million gallons a day since voluntary and mandatory water use reductions were put into place earlier this month. The number of Illinois farmers markets that accept electronic payments is going up. That's thanks to a federal grant to put card readers in 41 markets across Illinois. Brian Mackey has the details.
The idea is to make farmers markets more accessible to low-income people. The wireless battery-powered card readers are funded by a federal grant and include 2 years' internet access. They'll work with debit cards, credit cards, and link cards, which are the modern version of food stamps. Josh Dotson runs Dotson Farms in Beecher. He says his family has been taking produce to farmers markets since 1979. Dotson sells at markets that already accept link cards, and he says it's brought new customers.
People that we haven't seen there before, and they say that they've come because they heard that we accept link there now.
Researchers at Southern Illinois University Carbondale will study the results of the program to see whether the machines affect overall sales at farmers markets. I'm Brian Mackey.
Local markets already selected to participate include the Tuscola Downtown Farmers Market and Decatur's Central Park Farmers Market. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Sean Powers is with Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will air on the radio stations over the weekend, but be posted to our website by about 6 o'clock Friday evening. We record around 4:30. Dan Bossi of Ag Resource Company will be our guest this week on Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Now up next, West Central Illinois County is fast becoming the place to look for new or changed weed and insect developments. I'll have more.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Cass County is a popular place, it seems, for the development of new Illinois past problems. Last month, it was the site of what could be a new population of western corn rootworm that have adapted to YieldGuard BT. And this month, Central Illinois County became the furthest north host of a naturally occurring population, a Palmer amaranth, says weed scientist Aaron Hager.
Found it very accidentally. We were touring around in some areas in western Illinois getting ready for a field demonstration or a field tour at the Perry Ore Farm when I happened to drive by a field and something out of the corner of my eye caught my attention. So I stopped and backed up and lo and behold, walked down to the field and it was definitely Palmer amaranth.
And it definitely shouldn't have been in Cass County.
And we were very concerned about Palmer amaranth because it's a very competitive, a very aggressive, very rapidly growing pigweed species. It's the species that has really impacted agricultural production in areas of the Mid-South, say in areas of western Tennessee, across a large part of Arkansas, southern Missouri, as well as down in the southeastern U.S. This is the species that has been responsible for many cotton fields in those geographies to literally be destroyed, mowed down, plowed under because they cannot get the species under control. And instead of allowing the species to mature and make seed for future generations, many of these fields have basically been destroyed, so that won't happen.
While he cannot say for sure, Aaron Hager thinks the Cass County population of Palmer may have been transplanted there, that and a fresh seeding of CRP acres from earlier in the year. It doesn't matter other than to warn farmers to check their fields and to do everything possible to get rid of the plant before it goes to seed, says the University of Illinois weed scientist.
We certainly encourage everyone who might have seeded similar acres in other parts of the state to go ahead and take a look at those. And if you see plants that you may be suspicious could be palm or amaranth, best advice that we could give would be to remove those plants from the field as quickly as possible.
Because palm or amaranth can be resistant to many different herbicides, the most effective way to remove it is by cutting it off at the soil line. Be brutal. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. The folks up at the Andersons facility that's called the Climbers in Logansport are with us today. Thanks so much to Scott Butcher for being on the phone line. Tell me about cash prices in your area, spot and fall both.
Right now, cash price for corn would be $8.39. New crop is $7.93. Beans, $16.99. And then new crop beans, $15.85.
Do you ever think you were going to say an 8 in front of the cash price for corn?
Yeah, I mean, with the markets we experience now, it's anything's possible, that's for sure.
Tell me about basis and how fall is reacting to the gyrations that have been happening this week in Chicago.
Basis has stayed pretty steady. Most locations are, you know, probably in good shape here for the next month and a half to get to new crop, however long that is. You know, it seems like everybody's kind of got their needs met. I think the soybean processors in our area are going to take a little bit of downtime, and I'm sure corn processors are kind of in the same boat, probably take a little bit of downtime between now and new crop. So won't be, you know, won't be a big scramble. Doesn't feel like basis changes much here for a while.
Has the ethanol plant there that you service scheduled its downtime yet?
Yeah, I think we're, I know it's sometime in August. You know, we've got a week or 10 days, something like that built in. So every year at this time, we kind of, you know, do that just to go through things and make sure everything is in working order.
No, it's a scheduled downtime, happens every year, and it sounds like you're not trying to spread it out and that you're worried about needing corn either at the end of the year or at the beginning of the year, other than prices really, really high.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I know, you know, there's probably some other locations that have slowed down production, you know, just because of margins or, you know, cost structure, you know, whatever it might be. So, you know, there definitely are those scenarios out there in the countryside, but for the most part, you know, we've tried to, you know, run as strong as we can.
All right. And anything else about the corn or the soybean basis that we ought to know before I let you go?
Not that I know, Todd.
All right. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons Climbers facility. They're located in Logansport. All these years I've been saying Delphi. They finally corrected me last week. I've not been up there, so I suppose we must have heard that somewhere along the lines. But Logansport, Indiana. Thanks to them for joining us each and every Wednesday here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the cash grain market. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Hot Fudge Sunday Day. It's also St. Christopher Day, patron of fruit dealers, gardeners, and travelers. On this day in agricultural history in 1871, Seth Wheeler of Albany, New York, was issued a patent for perforated wrapping paper. The patent cut the cost of cutting, counting, and bundling stacks of pre-cut sheets. In 1872, it was reported to have rained black worms in Bucharest, Romania. In 1874, Sergei Lebedev was born. Lebedev was a Russian chemist who developed a method to produce synthetic rubber on a commercial scale, which used potatoes and limestone as raw materials. By the 1940s, the Soviet Union had the largest synthetic rubber industry in the world, producing more than 50,000 tons a year. In 1943, Charles McIntosh died, a Scottish chemist and inventor. He was best known for his method of waterproofing cloth. In 1948, bread rationing ended in Britain. In 1993, Vincent Schaefer died, a U.S. research chemist. He invented cloud seeding with dry ice to cause rain or snow. On November 13th of 1946, he flew over Mount Greylock in Massachusetts, where he seeded clouds with pellets of solid carbon dioxide to produce the first snowstorm initiated by man. And in 1965, the first U.S. surgical operation to correct a sperm block on a bull was performed. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is on the phone line to take up the weather forecast. Thanks for being with us today, Drew. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, it's really pretty tough because it's really hot here today. The rainfall has come in some places, but not in others. What can we expect over the next week or so?
Well, we're at the end of the road here for the hottest conditions, at least for the near term. A nice frontal boundary is going to come across the heart of the Midwest over these next few days and will likely bring much cooler air into the region, at least for a little while, and a good chance for rain and thunderstorms. I think the majority of the Midwest will see precipitation at one time or another between now and Friday morning. The amounts, though, are going to be quite variable, and this frontal boundary has been given a lot of hype, and I think it's important that we keep it all in perspective. This is not a drought-busting event. It is going to be an event that will certainly make us feel a little more comfortable, and the crops will likely respond to whatever moisture occurs. But we're not going to be getting such a large volume of moisture into the ground that we can say a general improving trend in crops are going to take place. We'll have to have frequent follow-up precipitation in order to obtain that kind of a conclusion. Now, the easternmost parts of the Midwest have already seen some scattered showers and thunderstorms over the past week, and so there is an improving trend underway for parts of Ohio and maybe a few areas in Michigan and northern Indiana. But the further west you go, the more insignificant the rains have been here over the past week. So what will happen as we get through this period of time, we're likely to encounter obviously a period of cooler weather. Temperatures will probably fall back into something that's a lot closer to normal, but still just a tad bit above average. And we'll likely see showers and thunderstorms scatter across a fairly large part of the region. But after we get beyond Friday, the precipitation across the Midwest is expected to become somewhat erratic and not quite so significant. So we will fall back to the old pattern where showers will occur periodically, but the amount of rain that's in them will not be so great. We'll still be looking for a big soaking rain.
That does not sound like a particularly good outlook for crops in the Midwest. You get further into August, do things begin to change at all?
Well, we do have El Nino that's evolving, and I think El Nino holds the clue for change. This El Nino, though, is not going to be a major event, but it will try to contribute to some cooler air to North America and try to contribute a little bit of an increase in precipitation in August. With that said, though, I want to be real careful not to make it sound like this El Nino is the saving grace for us all, because it's not necessarily going to be the case. I think we'll see an increase in shower and thunderstorm activity as we move deeper into the month of August, but we will probably still be running some notable moisture deficits. The biggest dry area in August will continue to be in the southwestern Corn Belt, including places like Kansas, Missouri, southwest half of Iowa, Nebraska, and maybe occasionally parts of South Dakota. But the pattern will likely present a ridge of high pressure fairly often in the plains during the month, and every once in a while it'll creep across into the western Corn Belt, but it's not likely to get all the way into the eastern areas.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. You can find us online at willag.org. We post all of our agricultural programming each and every business day of the year to the website. I'm Todd Gleason.